We heard that y'all had a VBS about a few weeks ago, and it went really well. We're really excited about that. We were praying for y'all, and we also heard that y'all prayed for Greece and the refugees during that week, and like the kids were praying and hearing about things, and even like raising money to give Bibles to the refugees who are asking for them, which is really an amazing thing. So we're so thankful for that, and we're so thankful for Mrs. Rigsby and her team and all you volunteers that were doing that, because I remember as a kid coming to Bayshore's VBS, me and my brother, you know, and how fun it was for us and how much we learned about God and the example we saw in the volunteers. So y'all are doing awesome. We're so thankful for that. But we have a story that came out of that, which is I really wanted to share with y'all. So y'all had the VBS, and about 2 days later, me and a couple of my friends were out walking around the streets of Athens. In a very poor refugee neighborhood. And so we're prayer walking and asking God, all right, who needs to hear the gospel? Who is there that needs to hear this? And we share to some people, and it's very uncomfortable, very awkward, it doesn't go well, happens multiple times to the fact where I'm like, okay, I think I'm done for the day. This is obviously not working. I'm not good at this. I'm scared. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking down the street, and I see two Bangladeshi guys on the other side, and of the road, and I'm like, I think I'm supposed to go talk to them. I don't know why, you know. I'm like scared out of my mind, but I'm like, okay, these are the guys. So I run across the street backwards. It's a little ways away, and start talking to them. And from the time in India, I learned a little bit of Bengali, so use like the two words I knew to like build a bridge to talk to them some more. But then two guys from Somalia interrupt us. And they're like, hey, what are y'all doing here? Why are you talking to these guys? And Somalia, I don't know if you saw on the World Watch list, but it's like number two and number three most dangerous countries in the world for Christians. Like, there's lots and lots of violence towards believers. And we know these guys are even willing to do this stuff in Athens. So we're a little bit worried, but we say, oh yeah, we're teaching this English class down the road, ESL, if you ever want to come. They're like, are y'all Christians? Is that why you're doing this? We're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, can you tell me more? So we start sharing the gospel with these Somalis, which is an amazing opportunity also that they knew some English. And then more Somalis start walking over and start pointing and talking. And we're like, the Somalis say, hey, cut the conversation off. Here's my number. Y'all need to leave right now, but call us because we want to know more. Because of the danger of these other guys. So we end up meeting with one of the Somalis and get to share the gospel with him a little bit more. And say, do you want this? And he's like, yes, I've been wanting this since I've come to Turkey as a refugee, because I survived multiple bombings in Somalia. I was missing like a lot. My body had shrapnel all in it. I was missing an eye, but these Christians came and gave me free surgery. And then they kept telling me, these other people kept praying for me and sharing about Jesus. So I've been wondering who Jesus is. So I'm glad you told me, and I want to become one. And we're like, okay, here's what you do next. And we baptized him almost the same day in our friend's apartment. And we've been discipling him every day for 2 hours a day, taking turns, teaching him the basics of the faith, like Christianity. It's about love. It's about caring for other people. You have to repent. You have to be baptized. We're teaching him all the simple things that you have to learn. And we're thinking, this guy's never going to share the gospel. I mean, we're having to meet at a different coffee shop every time we meet so that we can never get tracked. And he has to hide his Bible underneath an app on a phone. He's in a very difficult place. We teach him how, and we say, you're going to have to trust the Holy Spirit when you're going to have to share. But you share whenever you feel like God's leading you to other Somalis. And he has a list of people from all of the people in his life that are far from God. And it's like 30, 40 people long. He prays for every day. And he starts sharing 4 or 5 times already. It's only been 2 weeks since he's been a believer now. And we're just amazed. This is like way more than we could ever plan or do, what me and Shannon could ever plan or do. And we weren't even looking for Somalis. But then we're thinking, how did this happen? And then we remember, oh, 2 days before we meet these guys, there's like 100 little kids praying for them. So it's like, of course, this is going to happen after little kids are praying to Jesus for refugees. And so we're just so thankful for your VBS, and like really, we thank God, because I think God answered the prayers of these kids that were praying for the kingdom of God in Greece. So really, thank y'all, all who volunteered, all the kids who were there, and all who put that together, because really, we really believe that brought this guy to faith. And we checked out through other missions organizations, and We don't know that there's many Somali believers in the whole world. And so it's pretty amazing that we got to be a part of seeing someone who already wanted to believe in Jesus, and now we're getting to disciple him to reach his own people. So really thank God, and I thank all of y'all. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how to like walk daily in the Holy Spirit. And I even want to say this, like we're going to talk about something that's in scripture that says, you're going to do greater works than Jesus did when he was on the earth. Like, that sounds crazy, right? That you're going to be greater, you're going to be doing greater things than Jesus did. But I'm going to show you in scripture where it says that's what you will be doing. So we can go to John chapter 14, verse 12. We're going to start there. John 14, verse 12. I'll wait for everyone to get it out, their Bibles or their phones, whatever you want to do. John 14, verse 12. Okay. We'll read this and then we'll pray. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, we ask for your help this morning as we try to understand these scriptures and know what it means for us as a community. God, we need you, Lord. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need your help, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing, God. So we ask that you teach us how to walk in the Spirit, God. Let the words come alive for us in our own lives. Lord, so I pray that you bless this church. I thank you for how your spirit's already moving in this church and using it. And we just love you and thank you for letting us know you, God, and even have your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So, the very first verse is a very amazing verse to think about. It's even hard to believe is true. When you hear it, you think, if I said this statement outside of the scripture, a lot of people would be like, wow, this guy's saying heresy, right? But it's saying, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. It's saying that we will be doing greater works than Jesus did on this earth. That is amazing. That if you read the New Testament, if you read the Gospels, you're like, well, that's a very high standard if you know what Jesus has done in his life. But God is saying that that can happen for us. And so maybe you're thinking, oh, but that was for the apostles. That was for the disciples. If you go and read it again, it says, whoever believes in me. So if you believe in Jesus, you're in this group, which is pretty amazing that that's what it takes to be in this group. That all of us here, we've believed in Jesus. God said he can do greater things than through us than he even did while he was on this earth. And he goes on and explains how that is. It's not because all of us are so talented that we're going to outdo Jesus. Like, we all know that's not true. I can't outdo Jesus. But it's because the Holy Spirit's going to come into our lives and is going to be with us. And it's going to be the very presence of God. And it's such an exciting thing. So, it says, in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. He gives us a helper, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is why we get to be able to do the works that Jesus had did and even greater. It's because God himself is going to come and be with us. It says he will send a helper to live inside of us. So we see like the God of the universe. We see that if you go out into an observatory or you go out into the countryside, you look into the stars, and you can imagine that each one of these stars is like hundreds of times the size of the earth, the size of the universe. And then if you're into medicine, you're interested in things like this, you look at the how your cells are functioning and how your body is working together and like how amazing God must be to create this world. This same God is coming and saying, I'm going to live inside of you and you're going to have the power of God inside of you. That's crazy. That's amazing. We forget about this all the time. We go through our life thinking we're just normal people, but it's like, yeah, we are normal people, but the God of the universe lives inside of us. That's what he's promised. And I feel like we have our minds sometimes on other things. We get distracted because there's so many errands, like there's so much things that go on in life. You have to go to work, whatever. And we forget that God is living inside of us and is wanting to use us for his kingdom to bless others, to bless other Christians in our community, and to bless those who don't know God yet. So it says we're not going to be orphans. We're not alone here. You're never going to be alone. Maybe right now in your life you feel like you're alone, like something happened that's horrible, and you're like, I feel alone. What am I going to do? Jesus said, you're not an orphan. You're not alone in this world. I'm going to be with you, even if no one else is. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. And it says later that he's going to give you peace, not as the world gives. It's not just some kind of like, it's not only some kind of like mental kind of therapy. Like, no, God's going to give you a supernatural peace in your life. And it's going to look different times. You know, like we're in Greece right now. We're away from our family, our friends. It's very complicated moving to a new country and figuring everything out. And it doesn't mean like I don't always feel like things are perfect, you know, and that my life is fully at peace. You know, there's still like some tension there, but overall, God's given me peace and joy, even in all the difficulties of moving. And this is what he promises to all of us. So, another thing about this, say you're thinking, okay, I don't think Jesus is saying that we're really going to do greater works than him. Well, Jesus already knew that you're going to think this, and so he put in the verse, truly, truly, I say to you. So in case you're wondering that he's exaggerating, Jesus is saying, nope, truly, truly, I'm saying to you. This is true, okay? It's really so exciting. You know, the way the scripture is even written points us to this. And this promise isn't just for the mission field or people in Afghanistan or pastors in America. Like, this promise is for everyone who believes. So don't put a different category and say he's preaching for someone else. He's preaching for the youth volunteers or he's preaching for someone else. Like, no, this scripture is pointed at every one of us who believes in Jesus. Okay, so how do we even do this? How do we walk in the Spirit? How do we let this, like, rule our lives? How do we surrender to this? If you go to verse 15, he starts off really strong. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So salvation is by faith alone, by grace, that nothing that you can do. But there's also this thing that Jesus is saying, like, if I'm going to come dwell in you and rule your life and you want to see the power of God in your life, you have to love God. And how do you show that you love God? By obeying what his commandments. And I don't want you to just hear, okay, I haven't been keeping the rules. Like, it says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And I did do this one time. Like, that's not the main thing Jesus is talking about. What does Jesus say is the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So start there. Like, if you want to show that you love God, love him, like, with everything you have, and love your neighbor. Love people around you. Serve. Jesus says the greatest person in the kingdom of God is the one who is the least, the one who makes themselves the servant. And I know in this church, y'all know, y'all can, if I say this verse, you already have people in your mind that go to church here who are like, I know that person. He serves all the time with no complaints. He loves God so much in that way. And they're the ones that are grace in the kingdom of God. If you want to obey God's commandments, be that person who's always wanting to serve and love others. If you love God, you'll obey his commandments to make disciples. Are you making disciples? If you're not making disciples, you're probably not going to see the Holy Spirit do something through your life. Like, really, like that's every time that I'm backing away from that responsibility and that like calling for my life, it's like there's like a gap in seeing the Holy Spirit answer prayers or see situations come up that are amazing. And this is what God has called us to do. So there's a difference between knowledge and obedience. Jesus is not saying, if you love me, you will learn all of my commandments. You understand the difference? He's not saying, if you love me, you'll learn all my commandments. I even saw that recently Bennett preached a sermon about the tree that bears, or the house that's washed away by the storm that's built on the sand and the one that's built on the foundation. And the difference is, one hears the word of God and does it, and the other one hears the word of God and doesn't do it. So the difference isn't how much Bible knowledge you have. The difference is, are you actually using the Bible knowledge that you have to bless other people, to bless God? So this is a very hard struggle being like an American, like living here and being abroad, different places. Like I really see like this is like something that's part of our culture almost, is we love to learn. We love knowledge. We love to memorize things. We love to like collect data. And, you know, this is like what we do at work. This is what we do when we watch the news. Like this is part of who we are as Americans. But we have to fight this urge to only learn things and to go to another seminar, go to another conference, memorize another chapter without actually going and using it. Because God didn't call you to just learn it all, but he's called you to use it. And so say in your Sunday school class, if you're learning something, take some time together. Be like, okay, what are we going to do with this? How is this going to affect our lives this week? Let's make a plan. This is something that we do in our church in Athens, is we make a plan. Like, we learn this scripture. Now, we learned it was about, like, the Good Samaritan. We learned the guy got thrown on the ground, beaten up, and he took care of them, even though he wasn't their friend. He was from a different race. There was, like, so many different differences in their lives. And he still loved them. So it's like, all right, this week, how are we going to do that? Who is it in our community that's hurting? Or how can I be praying and watching out for people like that? So we have to connect the knowledge with obedience. And an example of how I've done this wrong is like I've like read books on prayer. You know, I read a whole book on prayer and then didn't pray afterwards. You know, where I'm like, my prayer life wasn't good, but I just finished a whole book on prayer. It's like, it's totally dumb. Like, why even waste my time if I'm not going to pray? And I'm missing the whole point. And this is what God's called us to do too. Not just read books on prayer, but to actually pray. And there's an example of this woman here in La Porte that a couple other people we were just out of college, and we had met this lady in an apartment complex on Old 146. And we started teaching her the Bible. She became a believer, and she was like an alcoholic with a lot of drug addiction problems, and a lot of her friends were like even prostitutes. It was like she was coming from a different like background than my own. And so we start hanging out with her, discipling her. We teach her the basics, and whatever we taught her, she went and did it the next week. Very simple. Like, we taught her one simple story about repentance. The next week, she's like, I stopped doing this. You know, we teach her a lesson about this. She's like, okay, next week I went and prayed every day. We taught her a lesson on prayer. And then one time we taught her how to share the gospel. We come back the next week, the police are waiting for us. And we're like, what's happened? And the police are like, sorry, we got a complaint that you're no longer allowed in this apartment complex. And we're like, why? And this is La Porte police. And they're like, well, the manager said that y'all keep teaching this lady about Jesus, and she keeps going and trying to knock on everyone's door to tell them all about Jesus every single day, and people are getting annoyed. And we're like, I'm pretty sure we're her guests, so we can still go. And he's like, yeah, you're right. This is silly. Y'all go. Like, the police, it was very reasonable. But the point of that story is, this lady, whatever she learned, she just went and did it. She didn't have much Bible knowledge yet. But she just took the little that she knew, and she went and shared it. And so that's what I challenge us to do as community. Like, whatever you're doing, like, whatever you learn, just try to use it that week. If you hear the sermon by Ben, don't go home and forget about it. Take something from it. Maybe even have to write it down or tell your wife or tell your friends or whatever. And then try to do it that week. That's going to really build up your life. And you're going to see God move. And that's what God's called us to do. He says, if you love me, you're going to do that. If you don't love me, you're going to hear it and do nothing. So really, that's God's, the word of God saying that to us. Okay. Another thing is God wants us to be praying. So even Jesus said, I will ask the Father and then he will send you the helper. So Jesus even saying, I'm going to pray that you have the Holy Spirit. He's setting the example for us to be praying. There's a pattern in scripture of prayer before a lot of huge decisions. Before Jesus shows the disciples, he goes on the mountaintop and prays. Before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples, for the first time, you can see in Luke chapter 24, I'll read this real quick, Luke 24, 46 through 49. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then they stayed in this place and prayed, we find out in Acts chapter 1 and 2, until the Holy Spirit came. And so even before the Holy Spirit comes, they stay and they wait and they pray to God. So God has called us to pray. If we want to see this power in our lives, we have to ask God for it. Like God has called us to humble ourselves before them. Like that's something me and Shannon have to struggle with in Greece, is like not trying to engineer like new churches or new believers or a new strategy. We have to let the Holy Spirit do it, because if we try to do this, it never works. We can't change anyone's heart. Only God can do that. Amen. And so this is even something that's very, it's been a lesson for me. I'm not coming here as the expert on prayer to teach everyone else. I promise you that. Like my grandmother's here. My grandma is definitely a woman of prayer, and I've learned a lot from her. But one thing that she does that I've recently started doing that's been so helpful is I have an attention problem. Even if I'm sitting here in the sermon right now, my head would probably be down on my phone while I'm listening or writing something. Like, when sitting down to pray with no sound and just, I can't do it. Like, I have a problem. So what I've done is, just like my grandma, she has a list of all the people she's praying for, of all the needs in her church, of all of the people that she's thinking about. And I went and did that. I made a prayer app and did it. This is something that I have to do on my morning and nightly prayers, or else I'm not going to pray for all the people I said I would. Because how many times are you with someone, they're like, hey, I'm about to go to the hospital, can you pray for me? You're like, oh yeah, sure, and then you never do it. You know, that happens sometimes. Doing something like this keeps you consistent at your word, and also gives you a time that every day where you're asking God for needs that he can show up and meet. And then later on, you can see like, oh wow, check, like, God answered that prayer, or I've been praying for this lost friend. Wow, I got to share with them this week. So if you're not already doing this, if you're struggling with your daily prayer time, try to make a list, try that. And then also like put a song on and spend time praying to God. But it also says pray without ceasing. So our prayer life isn't just one time during the day, but it's like throughout the day. When you're getting, for us, it's like getting on the subway. It's like, that's a good time to say a prayer for the people around me. When me and Shannon are walking to go visit someone's house, like let's say a prayer while we're walking. Things like this, maybe it's while you're in the car, but just throughout the day, just always be praying for the people around you and for opportunities. And you're going to see God give you opportunities to show love to people, not only share the gospel, but also to be like, hey, this person just had the worst week of their lives, and I can sit here and encourage them. Or just sit with them and let them talk, you know? God can give you these opportunities, especially if you're in prayer. It's going to be more obvious. So also, back in John 14:13-14, it says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So again, this is one of those verses you hear it once and it's like, is that really true? I can ask God for anything and he's going to do it in his name for his glory. And then so Jesus reinforces it just because he knows like people like me are doubting it. It says, he says it twice. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So if you have any doubts about this, Jesus is saying it twice for you. Like, really, please ask me in my name for my glory. I want to show you that I'm going to do it. So God wants to do this in our lives. Ask God for things that are big, for his glory, not for yourself, not like, God, give me $1 million. I'll be so nice to people. Like, but you know, that was like everyone's prayer as a child, really, probably. I don't know if I'm the only one, but God has called us to pray for things. And he says that he will answer them and do them. And this isn't just for the mission field or for pastors. Like, I'm saying this is for everyone. One of my friends here in La Porte, I even heard that this church is praying for him. He told me this story yesterday. It blew my mind. Like, he was waiting for a heart transplant and had something called an LVAD in him that was giving him lots of infections and problems and a lot of times where he almost lost his life because of this device. So he was like, I'm ready to get rid of this device. I need a transplant. And so for like the fourth or fifth time, maybe 10th time, I don't know how many times this guy has had to go through these suffering. He goes to the hospital and it's infected again. And they said, well, tomorrow we have to do another open heart surgery on your LVAD. And he said, no, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name that I have a new heart, that there's a new heart waiting for me tomorrow morning for a transplant. He says this, and the doctor's like, okay, dude, whatever you say. And he goes home and prays in Jesus' name, give me a new heart. And the next day, next morning, he gets a phone call at 10 a.m. saying, hey, sir, we have a new heart for you. Can you come to the hospital? We're ready for your surgery. And he was just like, what? This is amazing. Like, he literally just prayed this very bold prayer. And to get a transplant, I don't know if anyone's ever had to go through that process with someone. It is so hard to find a match. And this guy was like a he was a young guy, so it was even more difficult to find a heart that would be young for him and all that. But he got it. So it's just like God can answer these crazy prayers for us. And there's a Kurdish family, you know, the Kurds in northern Iraq and Iran and all that. They had come to Greece and escaped a very difficult situation, escaped terrorism, honestly, and the threat on their life. They come to this island in Greece. It's the worst refugee camp in the world, called Moria. And the woman is pregnant. And she's like, I'm about to have a baby. And the baby is going to be living in this really horrible camp. It's extremely dangerous. There's violence. There's one toilet for every 75 people. The food line is 4 or 5 hours long to get one meal. It's just not a good situation for a family with kids. And they already had two kids. And so she meets this woman who loves Jesus. She's actually was a volunteer from America, just there on a short-term trip kind of thing. She meets this Kurdish family and says, tell me, what's going on in your life? How can I be praying for you? And they tell their situation, and this American woman just starts crying. She's like, I can't believe the situation. Like, I'm so sorry to hear that. It hurts me to hear how you're suffering. And they said they never forgot this woman's love for them. And then this woman said, let me pray for you that you'll be able to get out of this camp. They were supposed to be in this camp 3 or 4 years. That's the normal time for someone that's from the country they're from. And she prays, I pray that you get out of this camp and also that you have this baby and it's a safe delivery. So the baby comes and it's not safe at all. It's actually the baby's health is horrible. They have to fly the mother and the baby to Athens to be with the best doctors and the NICU, all of that kind of situation. So the baby actually survives and is actually healthy, and the mom survives too. And then they call the father and the two other sons, and they fly them to Athens 4 years early than they were supposed to out of this horrible situation. And they remember, wait a minute, the lady prayed for two things, that our baby would be healthy and that we'd get out of this camp. Both just happened, and I think we need to remember this. So they said, you know what? Let's name our baby Masiha, which means Messiah in Kurdish, because Jesus saved our child and saved our lives, and we want to remember this. And she's already read the New Testament 3 times because she saw God do this, and it's only been a year since she's been a believer, or less. So the thing is, God can answer our big prayers, and this can happen in La Porte. We've all witnessed God answer prayer before, and he can do it again. Okay. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit's going to bring things to remembrance for us. It's going to teach us things. If you go to John chapter 15, the next chapter, Jesus talks about this some more. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Oh, that's the wrong one. Oh, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will make what is mine and declare it to you. So, we have this idea again in verse 7. Verse 7. It says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. So Jesus is saying, it's better that he's not here in the flesh with us right now. It's better that we all have the Holy Spirit than he was here right now. That's amazing. We live in Athens, Greece. Athens is one of the places where Paul had his missionary journeys. We're also near Corinth. We're also near Thessaloniki from Thessalonians. We're near Philippi from Philippians. All these places are just a few hours from where we're living. And, you know, it's amazing to be in the same place, like to be on Mars Hill where Paul preached these sermons and where he was sharing the gospel and miracles were happening. But Jesus is saying, like, even if it was Jesus himself being there on Mars Hill, it's better that we're all here now with the Holy Spirit than even him being there back then, you know? This is this amazing thing. Like, all this time I'm thinking, like, oh, I want to go on a, you know, like a pilgrimage or a trip to Israel to see all these places, which would be amazing to see, like makes the Bible come alive. But I forget that the Holy Spirit is actually inside of me and that wherever I go, Jesus is there too. And so just like Jesus was in Jerusalem and all these places before, he's in La Porte right now with us through the Holy Spirit. God is with us right now here. And this is it's so amazing we forget and we're like, oh, let's go there where the physical Jesus was. But then we forget that the Holy Spirit is with us everywhere we go. And he says that's even better than where the physical Jesus was. I don't know if I'm making any sense or if I'm being confusing, but it's an amazing thought to me. So, the Holy Spirit does the work in conviction. Okay, so there was a time before in my life when I was like, when I would share the gospel and I would like have, I studied apologetics and I was like, I have all of this knowledge in my head. Come at me, atheist. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I will win this argument. I never won a single argument because no one wants to lose an argument. You know what I mean? And I did the same with Muslims a couple of times where I was like, I have all this information. I'm like, I can prove to you that this is wrong and this is right. All I did was make enemies. Honestly, it never worked one time. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work in conviction. It says he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if they're not feeling that they're just, like they're sinners or that there's a judgment to come that's going to affect them or that they're not righteous, you can say all that you want to them. They're not going to listen to you. It's impossible. You can share God's love. You can say something. But when you're seeing that brick wall, it is a brick wall probably. And that's something that I've had to learn. And this is something that we have to learn, especially in Greece, whenever we're sharing with people that, you know, if we hit a brick wall, they could hurt us, you know, like they could be upset. So you have to know to back off and just show them love. Our friend from Somalia, the first story that I told this morning is this guy, I did not convince him to be a Christian at all. I was walking around. He came and asked me how to be a believer. You know, I definitely opened the conversation and shared a little bit, but then he was like, this is what I want. And that's the same here in La Porte too. Like, if you're not going, if people aren't going to church, if they're not following Jesus, chances are they don't want you to argue with them enough until they decide to come. I don't know if anyone's ever been in the place before they were at church. Were any of y'all waiting for someone to argue with you, to convince you to come, to out-debate you? Probably not. And so we need to offer love. We need to share with hope and love, share the gospel in a very simple way, and see if they're open. And if they're open and they want to, then you bring them. And if not, you keep showing them love, just keep caring for them. And we pray that God would change their hearts. Okay. Verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So Jesus says, the things that the Spirit's going to say are going to be for God's glory. So as we follow the Holy Spirit, like say, the leading of the Holy Spirit, like I really believe that God has given me sometimes, like not all the time, but I feel convictions about things. Like I should do this for this person. I should go talk to them right now. I feel convicted. Like God's telling me this is the right thing to do. But never abuse this, because it says right here that the things that are done, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's teaching you things, it's always going to be for the glory of God and not for anything else. If it's about to be the glory of you, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. If it's against the word of God, that's not going to be for the glory of God. So we have to test what the Holy Spirit is sometimes convicting us of, telling us to do, with the word of God. Because if the two are saying the different things, you're probably not hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so the things that the Holy Spirit sometimes like kind of teaches us or reminds us or tells us to do isn't always go tell that person about the gospel. Sometimes it's things like, hey, that person you know in your life, they're having a really bad day. They need you to go over there and encourage them right now. Hey, that person just had this huge family problem and they just lost a loved one at work. You need to ask them, you need to take them to lunch today and just sit there with them and be kind. Maybe it's like, hey, this person's struggling. They can't afford diapers right now. You know, you go and buy that family diapers if that might be the conviction you're having from the Holy Spirit. And so these are the kind of things that the Holy Spirit can prompt you on. I remember whenever we were, before we moved to Greece, we were meeting with lots of families, telling the stories of what God's doing, getting people on board to be praying for us and supporting us. And one of the families that we visited was like the Stockmans, Trevor and Abigail. And I remember that we went through this whole meeting, and honestly, our lives right then were like 6-7 nights a week. We're meeting with different families, going to working at a church, and our, you know, there wasn't much time to actually just worship Jesus and enjoy knowing God. It was like being workaholics, but for missionaries or something. So we went to their house. We shared the presentation. They were like, okay, that's enough, whatever. Trevor pulls out the guitar and just starts singing songs to Jesus, and Abigail too. And for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And that was exactly what we needed. Like, whatever reason, the Holy Spirit gave them the conviction, like, we just need to sing together for a while. And that was such a gift for me and Shannon. And it's even walking around with Shannon. It's like Shannon knows the Holy Spirit convicts her all the time. Like, hey, this person needs God's love right now. They feel totally alone. They feel like they're having a bad day. I'm going to write them a card. I'm going to give them a gift. Like, this is something that she does really well. And I know that many of you have these kind of gifts too. And I really believe God's going to use the Holy Spirit to prompt you to do evangelism sometimes, but I don't want you to just limit the Holy Spirit to only being evangelists. Like, God's going to use that to prompt you to do all kinds of things. And as you're trusting God, as you're obeying his word, as you're praying, spending time in prayer, more and more throughout the day, you're going to start getting convictions like, I need to do this for this person. And you need to just run with it if it's according to God's script, according to the word of God. And your life's going to be, it's going to be so exciting walking with God in that way. I know it has been for me when I do. Okay. So I want to end with this one story. So we found a church in Athens that we go to on Sunday morning right now. And it kind of reminds me of Bayshore, and it's one of the reasons we love it. It's a small Filipino church. which you would think Filipinos in Greece, like that's so strange. And it was strange for us too, because we were helping mentor this family that spoke Farsi and learning from them too about the refugee process and ministry. They're an incredible couple, but they're like, hey, on Sunday we go to a Filipino church. And we're like, are you speaking Farsi or are you really saying Filipinos? Like, you go to a Filipino church? Like, yes, all right. So we go on Sunday and it's all Filipinos, but there's translation into Farsi and Dari for Afghans and Persians. And we're like, we start going there, and after the service, I talked to the pastor, and he's like, hey, we've been, you know, discipling these Persians for a while now, but we really want to start sharing the gospel more to Filipinos and share them to our employers. Can you help train us on gospel sharing and all this? We're like, yes, that's actually why we're in this country, so this is perfect. So we start getting to work with them, and me and Shannon are both doing trainings over there with the different, with both Filipinos and people from the Middle East on gospel sharing, and they're out there doing it, and it's amazing. But what's so amazing about this church is that all of these Filipinos, they're just the house servants and the maids in all of the millionaires' homes in Greece. Like, that's why they're all there. They, like, work in the, you know, like, the big TV producers, the big politicians. They clean their house and wash their dishes. They're very humble people. But they love God so, so much. And they had very little resources because of their job that doesn't pay well. But whenever the refugee crisis happened, all of these Filipino people saw the people coming into the country and saw, this is horrible. They're starving in the streets. There's kids out there. So they pulled all the little bit of money they had together, and they started cooking pasta and bringing it out to the refugees in the parks and saying, God bless you, we love you. And even sometimes, the people were so hungry that they were attacking them, but they still went out anyways, like trying to compete for who got the food. But they loved God so much and loved these people so much, they kept doing it. They eventually let 15 people from the Middle East live in their houses, and they washed all their clothes, cooked their laundry, or cooked their food and help them like get jobs and find their way in life in Greece. And they baptized so many new believers. It was incredible. But they did this out of like just their simple life. They were working 12-hour days, making very little money, but they saw a problem and said, this is our calling. We're going to serve these people. Now one of the refugees is married to the pastor's daughter, and one of them is now a pastor. I can't say the country, but he's a pastor from a background that's one of the only pastors in the world from this country. And they put him through Bible college and discipled him and everything. Not only have they done that, but afterwards, now that they're not only working with Iranians and people from the other country, but they're also sharing the gospel to these multimillionaires, including one of them has been sharing with the former First Lady of Greece. Because she's working in her house all day, showing her love, sharing the word of God, and her life is being transformed. So I say this to say, this calling is not just for, like, you know, pastors or something. Like, this calling is for all of us. And Bayshore, y'all can do this too. Like, we've seen you do it. Like, after Ike, you know, way back when. I remember my family's one of the ones that had the house, that had its house really damaged by the hurricane. And Bayshore was one of the places that was helping my family get back on its feet and figure things out after that storm. And y'all have done this in so many ways with your food pantry, in different ways, and then the way you care for people in your own lives. But I'm saying, like, as a church, pray together. God, how can we serve our community? How can we care for others? How can we follow the Holy Spirit? Not just together as a body, but also as we go to work and as we go hang out with our friends. Like, how can we follow the Holy Spirit and let him lead us? And I'll read one more scripture, and then we'll pray. Luke 11, verse 11. Luke 11, 11. What father among you, this is Jesus, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If the fathers in this room are willing, not going to give their kids scorpions instead of eggs, and we have all of our issues, you know, how much more will the perfect Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's that simple. You ask for the Holy Spirit, God is going to give it to you, and he's going to lead you through your life. He's going to give you peace. I didn't even talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit or so many other aspects of it that I'm sure you know from the scriptures, and I encourage you, keep looking into all of that. There's so much to learn. But we're going to ask right now that God would give us the Holy Spirit, that would like give us more of it, you know, help us, lead us throughout our day, and give us the peace and comfort that we need in our life. So I'm going to pray for us right now. God, we thank you that you don't leave us as orphans, but God, that you have sent your Spirit to be with us, that we have the power of God living inside us every day. It's unbelievable, God. And how do we deserve this? I don't know, God, but you love us, and we're your servants, and we want to follow you. God, I pray that you would give us your Spirit, God. We ask you as a good father that you would give it to us more, God, that we'd be more aware of what the Spirit wants in our lives, whether it's to like obey you in a certain way or stop doing something or to show love to a certain person or to worship you more, God. We want to follow your Holy Spirit, God, so we ask for more, knowing that you give good gifts to those who ask, and there's no gift better than the Spirit. So, God, we pray that you would give this to this church, God. Help us to love you, God. Help us to obey you. God, let our prayer lives be like joyful, and even when they're not, God, help us to keep doing it, God, and keep asking for things, knowing that you hear us as we repeatedly ask you for things, God. You do hear us. And so we just thank you and praise you for your love for us, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.